You are listening to the Point Harbor Church Podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. Good morning, Point Harbor family. How y'all doing? My goodness. Can y'all show some love to Pastor Tim and the Point Harbor band? Wow. I like to call them the Point Harbor family band because the more you worship together, the more you serve together, it feels like a family, right? You know what I'm talking about? Well, today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 7. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, we got one for you. Right in front of you should be. If you do not own a Bible, that is our gift to you. Just take it home and sink your teeth into it and come on back next week. Genesis chapter 7, we're going to try and get through two chapters today. Lots of reading. But these two chapters tell one of the most epic stories ever told. You know what I'm talking about? Noah's Ark and the Great Flood. Noah's Ark and the Great Flood. So let's dive in. Are you there? Say there. Here we go. Verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you seven pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate. And seven pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heavens were open, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark, they and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut them in. The Lord continued, the flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground. Man, and animals, and creeping things, and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Church, let's pray together. Oh God, you are God. We are not. You are creator, and we are creation. We are creatures. You formed us with your hands. You are the potter and we are the clay. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Lord. I pray that you do your will in this place, God, through your word and through your Holy Spirit. I pray that you use me, God. Humble me. I am weak, but you are strong. I am foolish, but you are wise. Do your work in this place. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. The first thing we see, verse 1, the Lord told Noah, go into the ark. Now, when God tells you to go, you go. You go as if your life depended on it. Amen? God knows what he's doing. God sees what's coming. He's got a plan. And God does this all the time in the Bible, right? God told Abraham, Abraham, go to the land that I will show you, the land that I will give you. I will make a great nation out of you. And Abraham's like, bro, I'm 75 years old. I ain't got no kids. But what did Abraham do? He obeyed God. He believed God. God told Moses, Moses, go. Go back to Egypt. Stand before the mighty Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Moses is like, I've been hiding in the desert 40 years. I'm past my prime. I'm no politician. I'm not a good talker. But what did Moses do? He believed God. He obeyed God. These are the type of people that God chooses all the time. He doesn't choose the strong. He doesn't choose the wise. He doesn't choose the heroes or the bedazzled. He chooses the weak. Amen? There's a quote that I love. I said it a few times. My point group is probably sick and tired of hearing it. It's very helpful to me. A pastor once said this, the people that God uses most profoundly in the Bible are broken rejects with significant issues. And then he goes on to say this, I just wonder how many of you are waiting on the sidelines until you feel good enough. I want to lovingly tell you, you will never be good enough. It's God's goodness that we lean on, not our own, amen? God's goodness. Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us today, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. Therefore, what? Go. Go to your workplace. Go to your friends. Go to your family. Take the gospel to the world. Go like your life, like their lives depend on it. So here's the question, will you believe him? Will you obey him? Easter's coming up, right? What a perfect opportunity for you to go. What a perfect opportunity for you to go invite somebody. Hey man, Easter, most people come to Easter. They may hate church, but they'll probably come to Easter. When God says go, you go. God goes on to say this to Noah. For I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. One man out of how many? How many people were on the earth before the flood? Thousands? Millions? Billions? I don't know. But what I do know is God said to one man, you are righteous. Noah, you and your family, I will spare. Your righteousness impacts your whole family. Your sin impacts your whole family. God said, you alone. Do you ever feel like the only Christian at work? The only one in your group of friends trying to be righteous? The only one who believes in God and your whole family? God sees you. God sees you. He sees when you don't look at what they look at. He sees when you don't laugh at what they laugh at. God sees you when you do not partake or rejoice in what they do. God sees you. He delights in you, and God has promised to reward you. The previous chapter says that Noah walked with God. Y'all remember last week's sermon? Dad's over there. Noah walked with God. Noah did not need acceptance from the world. He was a friend of God. Let this be the anthem of every Christian in this room. Hey, man, I'm a friend of God. It may feel like you walk alone, but you are walking with God. When I was in high school, back in the 90s, I had this graphic arts class. I love this class. We made like CD covers, designed logos, printed T-shirts. And one project, we could make our own magazine cover. And so I'm like, sweet. I'm going to make a magazine cover of like all my favorite Christian punk rock bands. Okay? And I was in a Christian punk rock band. The magazine cover looked really cool. My band was not cool. We were terrible. We sounded like cats fighting. We're like, hey, man, you guys want to practice tonight, or do you guys want to play video games? Video games, 9 out of 10. We were terrible. But anyway, we looked really cool on this magazine cover. So I got an A-plus on this thing. I'm stoked. We're riding the bus home. And my friend's like, hey, John, let me see that. She's like, oh, that's pretty cool. What does CM mean? At a big CM on the corner is my magazine logo, my company. I said, oh, it means, it means Christian music. And then like half the bus like turned around and looked, and she laughs. And she goes, Christian music? John, do you sing songs to Jesus? Ooh, it got me. Oh, it was a little embarrassing. See what Rusty's doing? Like the whole bus was doing that, all right? I was like, ouch, man. It's like, I'm embarrassed a little bit. But the truth is, she was right. I was singing love songs to Jesus, just like King David did, just like the psalmist did, just like millions of saints before me did. Because if they knew who we were singing to, man, they would sing along too, right? If they really knew who we were singing to, the goodness of God. God is good. He knows my name. They couldn't help but sing. Man, we're going to get laughed at from time to time. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be a little embarrassing from time to time. But remember, you're a friend of God. You are a friend of God. God's never going to laugh at you. God's never going to leave you or forsake you. God's never going to be harsh with you. He loves you. God loves you. I really, really, really love my daughter. I smile just saying that. But I do not know the number of hairs on her head. God does. I really, really, really love my wife. She's beautiful and so interesting. But I don't hear every word she says. She can attest to that. But God does. Let that be a lesson to all you ladies out there. You ain't going to find a better man than Jesus. He hears everything, all right? God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. So at this point, we got to choose sides. We got to choose sides, friendship with the world and not get laughed at, fit in, or friendship with God. The New Testament says, friendship with the world is enmity or hostility towards God. James, the half-brother of Jesus and elder of the early church in Jerusalem, says this, and this is going to sting a little bit. You adulteresses, disloyal sinners, flirting with the world and breaking your vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend, that is, loving the things of the world, is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The last person you want to be enemies with is God. An old preacher once said, Don't expect the world to give you a crown of gold when it gave your Savior a crown of thorns. Jesus himself tells us this. If the world hates you, understand it hated me first. If you were of the world, it would love you as its own. Instead, the world hates you because you are not of the world. But I have chosen you. I have chosen you out of the world. Are you a friend of God? Do you walk with him? Do you enjoy being with him? Are you his friend? Or are you just coming to church? You can have church and totally miss Christ. Now, Noah, was Noah a perfect man? Was Noah sinless? Noah may have been hundreds of years old, lived on a floating zoo for about a year, but you and I and Noah got something in common. What is it? Sin, a fallen nature, a sinful nature. Ever since Adam sinned against God in the garden, sin has crept in and made its home in the heart of every human being. And God hates sin. Look what sin has done to his creation. Look what sin has done to his children. Like a thief, it has come to destroy and kill. The other night, I'm laying in bed, I'm falling asleep, man, going to catch some Z's. All of a sudden, I hear, boom, boom, and whoa. Sounds like someone's breaking in my house. I jump out of bed, grab my nine, round the chamber, around. I'm walking around, man, got my little tactical flashlight. I look back at Aubrey, I'm like, I'll be back. I'm like looking around, man. Through the hallways, in the cupboards, in the closets, behind the shower curtain. I'm looking everywhere. I couldn't find nothing. Look at my dog. He's just standing there like, hey, what's up? I'm like, you're worthless. Where's the intruder at, man? I'm looking off. It's like a half an hour. I was just like sweating and everything, looking for this thing. The only thing I found was a 50-pound bag of makeup that fell on the ground. And I stumbled over it. I'm like, what's that? But let's say that I did find an intruder. Let's say I walk into my kitchen, I throw my flashlight on him, and there he is, 6'5", a violent intruder holding a knife, making a ruckus. What kind of man would I be? What kind of dad would I be if I said, hey, whoa, man, can you keep it down? We're trying to sleep. Would I be a good father? Dad's backing me up on this. Would I be a good father if I said, man, can you just stay in this part of the house? You know, out here, watch some Netflix, help yourself to some beverages. We're going to be over here. Just please don't mess with us. No. God is a good father. Any father, any good father would clear that house of that intruder. Amen? Do whatever it takes to protect those he loves. Sin is a violent intruder that terrorizes and tramples God's creation and even turns it against God. God hates sin. God told Adam, don't eat that fruit. Adam's like, let me get a bite. One little taste. And it wasn't even about the fruit, right? It was about not obeying God, not trusting God, turning away from God. Adam committed cosmic treason and passed down his rebellious heart to every single one of us. By default, we are sinners. We are rebels at heart. The psalmist said, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. The entire Bible is very clear about this. There is none righteous. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament quotes the Old Testament and says this. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even One, Jesus himself said, there is none good but God. And he was talking about himself. There's a quote from theologian R.C. Sproul that I've said many times. It's very helpful. He says, we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. There is no one righteous. None of us. We have to get the notion out of our head that God loves us because we're so lovable. The Bible is clear. God loves us while we were sinners. Jesus died for us while we were his enemies. That is the love of God. Now we're going to see in a few chapters that righteous Noah gets off the ark in a whole new world. And it doesn't take long for him to sin against God. And the sad, sinful cycle starts all over again. And here we are today. But Noah is called righteous. So how was Noah righteous before God? How can you and I be righteous before God? How can we stand before God blameless? How can we have the favor of God in our lives? I don't want God's judgment. I want God's blessings. Amen? I want his blessings. Warren Wiersbe says this. Noah's righteousness didn't come from his good works. His good works came because of his righteousness. Like Abraham, his righteousness was God's gift in response to his personal what? Faith. The scriptures say, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. The scriptures also say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Your morality, all of your morality, does not please God. If you don't have faith in God, all of your righteous deeds, your service, your giving, it does not please God unless you have faith in God. Amen? God bless you, brother. Good gracious. That was like the trifecta. I was like, I'm just going to keep preaching, man. So many religious people are trying to work their way into the arms of God. It's impossible. We'll never work our way into the arms of God. His arms are open freely, though. Amen? He says, come on, trust me. I'll carry you. The fact is that we're not good enough. The righteous requirement for you to stand before God and enter into his glorious kingdom is complete and utter perfection. Not one sin. Every law of God kept, every thought pleasing and pure to God, your every word filled with kindness and truth, your every motive and inclination upright and holy, all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength, loving God above all. Did you make the cut? Did you? Anybody walking on water in here? No, we all sunk. We all sunk. But there's one man who walked on water. One man. It's one man who made the cut. His name is Jesus of Nazareth, the eternal Son of God, the Son of Man, the only perfect person who can truthfully say, I always do what pleases him. Jesus did for you what you could not do for yourself. And then he offers it to you. If you take it by faith, he says, hey, I know you can't live a perfect life. I know you can't keep all of God's laws perfectly. I'm going to do it for you. But trust in me. Receive it. Have you received his gift by faith? My good works are not the foundation. They're the fruit. My righteousness is not the foundation. It's the fruit. My faith in Jesus, now that is the foundation. Because Christ alone is the solid rock. Amen? Christ alone is the chief cornerstone. If you believe God, then you will obey God. Jesus said to people, why do you call me Lord and not do what I command? Oof. So take a moment. As the old preachers say, draw a circle around yourself. Is there an area in your life where you need to believe God? What area in your life do you need to obey God in? This is in your notes. Salvation is not the fruit of good works. Good works is the fruit of salvation. Every Christian will have good works. Every Christian will have righteousness that he's doing. But it is the perfect righteousness of Christ that we're believing in. And when you believe and receive, then you are born again. You're given a new heart, new desires. Anybody else in here, when you first started falling for your spouse, do you remember, like, changing things? Right? Like, I don't know about you, but I, like, started trimming my beard. Did you do that, Rusty? I started trimming up a little bit, you know, trying to look a little bit nicer, trying to do things, man. I just wanted to be with her, right? It's kind of the same. Once you start to know God, you're like, I want to be like God. I want his joy. I want his peace. I want to be in his presence, like we sing about. True saving faith is active, obedient faith. Look at verse 5. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. If you believe God, you will obey God. Verse 7. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Dads in here, notice. Noah got his whole family on board. It wasn't the kids saying, come on, Dad, hurry up. It wasn't even the wife saying, you slow. Come on, boo, hurry. Noah said, hey, the Lord said, go. Fam, we're going. Verse 15, they went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. Check this out. And the Lord shut him in. It was the Lord who sealed the door and sealed their fate. It was the Lord who brought them safely to shore. The scripture says, those who believe in Christ have been sealed for the day of redemption. And he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. Charles Spurgeon once said, Noah may have fallen down many times inside the ark, but not once did he fall out of the ark. It is God himself that holds you. It is God himself that seals you in. Do you feel like you're falling? Do you feel like you're falling? Friends, you may have fallen 1,000 times, but not once has God dropped you. He will carry you. His word is true, amen? This is what he says to his people. Even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. I will carry, and will save. It is not your grip on Christ that saves you, it is Christ who saves you. It is Christ. Jesus said, who can take them out of my hand? Nobody. God himself holds you. The Lord shut them in. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now the New Testament tells us something very surprising. Noah's Ark, as epic and as giant as that was, points to something bigger. Jesus. Jesus is the greater ark. And as the judgment of God is poured out, those who are hidden in Christ are sealed, are safe. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, therefore there is now no condemnation. How much condemnation? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are hidden in Christ. We cannot stand on our own. Every single one of us would be swept away. The psalmist said, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? The answer is none. The rain came down and the waves beat against the ark. Not Noah. Noah was dry. So it will be with everyone who trusts in Christ, who enters into Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, the wrath of God, the punishment for sin was poured out onto Jesus. Beat up against Jesus, and we hide ourselves in him. And he takes the blows for us so that we don't get swept away. Verse 17. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth. And the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. And the waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. The waters prevailed, 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 like an army weighing waste to a city, siege after siege, wave after wave. The tsunamis of God's judgments were finally released on all those who continued on their way, on those who continued in rebellion and unbelief, on everyone who did not enter the lifeboat provided for them. Year after year, God waited patiently. Year after year, Noah preached fervently, but they kept going their own way. Saying, oh, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine, man. There's no cloud in the sky. The clouds started coming. The clouds got darker and darker. And finally, the waters came, just as God had promised, and prevailed against them. Verse 21. And all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth of 150 days. The thing is, the great flood is only a preview of what's coming. Jesus himself said, there's coming a day. There's coming a day up ahead where all of the sin, all of the rebellion, all of the corruption will be washed away, wiped away, blotted out forever. And only those who are hidden in the ark will remain. Why? Why do we get to remain? Because our sins, our rebellion, our corruption has already been washed away. How is our sin washed away? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. All of history is headed to this event. It's what it's all about. The second coming of Christ. And for the Christian, this will be the happiest day of our earthly lives because it just keeps getting better and better in his presence. Amen? The scripture says in Titus, we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Hebrews 9, Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who what? Who are eagerly waiting for him. The question is, are you eagerly waiting for him? Or are you good? Are you good? Doing life as you always have? This is an honest question we got to ask ourselves. Or do you eagerly wait for him? When you see him face to face, there he is. The one who created me. He knows my name. He loves me. Or are you good? Noah was eagerly waiting in the ark, right? I wonder if Noah knew that he was going to be in that ark for like a year. He obeyed. He went in there. I don't think he knew. I don't think he knew he was going to be in there that long. Listening outside the ark, right? Man, months have gone by. I don't hear any rain. Months have gone by. I don't hear any more waves. It's quiet out there. Wait a second. Have you forgotten about me? Hello, we're down here. You ever feel like God has forgotten about you? Has God forgotten about you? Man, I have felt like God has forgotten about me. I will be honest, for sure. Where are you at, God? I've been praying so long for this. I've been waiting and waiting. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, but God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. Now, God doesn't remember like humans remember, because God doesn't forget like humans forget, right? But from God's perspective, he remembered Noah, meaning he turned his active attention to Noah after the flood had accomplished its purpose. Now, from Noah's perspective, God remembered him because that dude was waiting and waiting. My friends, there's going to come a day in this life or the next where you will declare with all the joy in your heart, God remembered me. He remembered me. Verse 14, chapter 8, verse 14. In the second month of the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Two things. While you are waiting for God, always remember, God is working for you. God didn't forget Noah. God was working. While you are waiting for God, God is working for you. Can you imagine what would have happened if Noah's like, I'm done waiting. I'm out of here. Splash. Right? I can't wait anymore, man. I'm getting crazy in here. Let me out. Noah waited. The Bible is full of people who wait on the Lord. God is not distracted. God is never late, and he's never early. While you are waiting, God is working. Here's the thing. The ground was not ready for Noah yet. As you're waiting for God, remember, the ground is not ready for you. Where am I going? I want to get there. It's not ready yet. God's still working. Trust in him. Second thing, it says, in the second month, on the 27th day of the month. Why is it so detailed? Like, why is it so specific? Most scholars think that they were on the ark 370 days. I think it's so specific because they don't want us to forget. Like, don't forget this date. Put it on your calendar type of don't forget. This really happened. This isn't just an allegory or fantasy. This actually happened. And here's the funny thing. This date, the 27th day of the second month, is actually circled on my calendar. Bold. Arrows pointing to it. Has nothing to do with the flood, by the way. It's my wedding anniversary. What's going to happen to me if I forget? You know what I'm saying? God is like, remember. Remember. This actually happened. Verse 15. Then God said to Noah, go. Go out from the ark. When God says go, bro, you go. Verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. The first thing Noah does when he walks on that new land, dry, open to him now, the first thing he does is worship God. He says, this is your world, God. We are your people. Your will be done. Verse 21. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from its youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. One thing we see here very clearly is that even though the flood washed the sin from the world, the flood could not wash the sin from our hearts. So God provided a better ark, his own son. Jesus Christ, have you heard of him? Jesus Christ, who would transfer his righteousness to you and take your guilt and shame upon his own shoulders and climb up on the cross and pay your penalty so that you might not be swept away, so that you might be born again into the family of God and be given a new heart and new desires. If you believe in Jesus as your only hope of heaven, man, not your good works, not your tradition, not your religion, Jesus alone. If you believe in Jesus and have received his forgiveness, received his righteousness by faith, you've been born again. You've been born again. You have God's Spirit living inside of you as a seal. And you are held safe until the day you reach shore. Now, you will struggle with sin, right? Like, we're all adults in here. We know we're going to still struggle. The Bible is clear. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. The thoughts that war against you, the desires that war against you, the memories, the actions will be swept away by his mercy and grace, and the sun will rise, and the warmth of his glory and his grace will be your home forever. That day is coming. And the clouds are starting to get dark again. Are you going to continue on as you always have? Or are you going to hear the warning and the invitation from God? Go. Go into the ark. Here's my son. He did for you what you cannot do. He will carry you. Go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. You are God. You do all that is right. Stand before you humbly, God. I pray that you work in this place, work in the hearts. Everyone here, you know our need, and we need Jesus. We need to get on the boat and trust in Jesus, I pray you call right now through your Holy Spirit. I pray that you call them out of darkness. Whoever needs to see the light of Jesus, tell them to go. Run to your son, I pray. If you're here and you're like, Johnny, dude, I've been just kind of going on as I've always gone on, but I don't want to be swept away, bro. I want to be in the ark. I kind of feel like God might be telling me, go. I say to you, my friend, there's a seat at the table with your name on it. You just got to sit down and enjoy the party that's been provided for you. By faith, receive his forgiveness. I want to invite you just to say to God from your heart to his, Lord, I believe in you. Jesus, I don't have it all figured out, but I got like 1% faith maybe. Just enough to ask you to save me and forgive me and then take me to heaven when I die. I choose you, God. Tell that to him. I choose you, Jesus. Save me. Forgive my sin. Give me a new heart. If you're here and you prayed something like that, you've asked God to save you, I want to invite you to tell somebody, man, so we can rejoice with you, so we can welcome you to the family, so we can help you. It's easy to feel alone out there. That's why we come to church. Write on your connection card or go to pointharbor.church. Let somebody know. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and you are our good shepherd. Protect us, deliver us from evil now. Strengthen us for this week as we go. Help us to go and be lights to the places that we work and live. We love you and we need you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. We love you, church.